Blog Talk Radio.
What happens now that President Trump has declared a national opioid emergency and hasn't requested any funding? Well, probably the same thing that happened with his health care legislation. Bloody nothing. The government released a trove of documents that were classified and in the National Archives. Many more are scheduled for 6 months from now, and all of the documents that are released will confirm that JFK was killed by an insane lone gunman. The only scandal will be that the CIA should have been more aware of the risk of Oswald. Conspiracy? What conspiracy? There's no conspiracy. Walgreens changes President Obama's campaign slogan in 45 states. Yes, we Narcan, says Walgreens. This is actually good news. In Georgia, a cow has killed a farmer. For vegetarians, that might be seen as poetic justice, but according to the reports, the farmer was trying to move the cow when the cow turned on him and started to ram the farmer into the fence, crushing his chest and killing him. As a defense, I expect the cow to assert prior sexual assaults and claiming that the farmer was trying to make hay while the sun shines. Since we last met, Robert Guillaume has died. As you probably know, he was in Soap and Benson. As a result of his death, we learned that Guillaume wasn't his real name. If you don't know, do you have a guess on his real last name? As a clue, it wasn't Domino, despite the fact that Fats Domino has also died in the last week. Last week, we talked about a company that was making extra-large condoms and the idiots who claim they need such a product. If you have children or sensitive listeners with you, you might want to skip ahead about 45 seconds. This week, the New York Post, that bastion of fine journalism, has a story of a young man who actually might have been an appropriate customer. It seems that due to a virus or parasite, the 20-year-old's organ was approximately 3 feet long. I'm going to get through this story, I promise. Approximately 3 feet long, and what might be called the underlying sac weighed approximately 11 pounds. Reportedly, he's now had surgery, and the sac is fully functional, and his implement is a normal size. There are, however, several men who are lining up to receive the excess tissue. 3 feet? His shoe size must have been enormous. Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea, welcome to the October 26, 2017 edition of Speaking of Everything with Jeff Bushman. That's me. Tonight, we'll talk about those stories and why conservatives hate analogies and other forms of logic, while we also discuss the so-called War on Christmas. And you can participate as well, should you be both listening to our live edition and so inclined. If you wish to call in, the number is 646-668-2953. Since nobody pays for long distance anymore, I suppose that's a free call for virtually everybody. Again, that's 646-668-2953. Before we go into these stories and that subject discussion, let me tell you that in the coming weeks, as I mentioned last week, we hope to go to an hour. We plan on going to an hour, and we will. And we also will tell you next time, presumably, possibly the time after that, about a way you can help support this program if you are so taken, if you wish to do that. I'm Jeff Bushman. It's Speaking of Everything. I think I did mention, actually, last week how we got that title, Speaking of Everything. We did it the normal American way. We stole it. Titles, like titles of songs and titles of books, are not copyrightable, so no one will get us for that. Anyway, as we mentioned at the top, President Trump went through the brave and noble step of declaring a national opioid emergency, but he hasn't requested any funding for any programs to combat addiction or to prevent it. So that declaration is about as useful as spitting into the wind. We also heard today that they have released, as they say in the journalism business, as we went to press, it was too early for anyone to have gone through all those documents, or even a good many of them, and report what's in them. But the way that several several people on the network radio shows and TV shows were talking, it sounds like everybody in the know already knows that what it's going to come out is that the CIA should have been more attentive to Oswald in Mexico. And that will be the scandal that everybody talks about. If they had been more attentive to Oswald in Mexico, perhaps they could have prevented President Kennedy's assassination by Oswald. That'll be the big deal, but it's not a big deal. If there are any of you who used to listen to our program on Going Beyond Radio, which no longer exists, you will remember that we had the author of a number of books about the assassinations on that program. There are so many things wrong with the Warren Report and so many things wrong about the conclusion that Lee Oswald acted alone as to be ridiculous. Nonetheless, that will be the conclusion that the documents demonstrate. As I suggested, there will be some minor scandal that they'll give to us as, if you will, bread for the circus, and it won't be meaningful at all. So you can check the news over the next couple of days to see how I did, since I don't know at the moment. Walgreens is doing a remarkably interesting thing, and I think a good thing, in 45 states where they do business. They do business, I believe, in all 50 now. But I remember as a child, by the way, as a side note, Walgreens was present in Chicago where I was born. And then at that time, they were not in Los Angeles where I then moved to. And they were not there for years and years. They are now. But they were in San Francisco. And that was kind of interesting. They were in San Francisco and Chicago and probably several other cities I don't know about. But they weren't in L.A. until recent years. In any event, Walgreens in 45 of the states where they operate is now going to make Narcan available in their stores on a non-prescription basis, so you can walk in and buy Narcan. They haven't talked about what the costs are, or at least not in the news releases. But what Narcan does is you can give it to someone who has overdosed on opioids or heroin, or I should say heroin and other opioids, but that's a whole other story. And if they've overdosed and would otherwise die, giving them the Narcan will bring them back. And so selling this over-the-counter is a very good thing because obviously there's no record of it. So if you are addicted and are concerned about an overdose or you hang around with people who might be, this is something you may want to consider. That's pretty much it. It's a really good move under the circumstances. So that's Walgreens. CVS, by the way, also has Narcan in a number of their stores, but not as widespread apparently as Walgreens is planning. The two deaths in the last week that I'm aware of celebrities are Fats Domino, who was a rock and roll pioneer, but he was such a pioneer that in spite of my advanced years, I don't really remember him. I mean, I remember the name because it was unusual, and I remember that he was a rock and roll legend even when I was a kid, but I couldn't tell you what song or songs he sang. No idea. Also wasn't into that kind of music. Robert Guillaume also died. Robert Guillaume was really actually a pretty good actor. He was in two rather lightweight TV shows, one less so than the other. Soap was very lightweight, very funny. He was in that show playing the butler, whose name was Benson, and after Soap went off the air, they did a spinoff where Guillaume continued his role, and the show, of course, was called Benson. And you can probably still catch some old episodes of that. He played a butler and then an administrative assistant to the governor and then finally a candidate for governor. And I don't remember the episode at the end of the series, but I heard when they were talking about Guillaume having died that, excuse me, that he and the governor he had worked for were running against each other, and they were sitting next to each other watching the returns, and the cliffhanger for the season was you're not going to know who won. Presumably you would find out the next season. Unfortunately, they ended up canceling the show before the next season started, so nobody ever knows. It's kind of like the end of The Sopranos. Nobody really knows what happened. But anyway, Guillaume was not Robert Guillaume's real last name. His real last name was William. And as I understand it, Guillaume is the French equivalent of William. I say as I understand it because I heard that. I don't speak French. And he chose that because Robert Williams was kind of an ordinary name. but he suffered I don't want to call it the indignity, but he suffered the problem that nobody could pronounce it in the United States. So it was constantly mispronounced. And when he was interviewed about this several years later, he said, "That's the price I paid for my pretentiousness," which was kind of a good, humble thing to say, presumably. In any event, wanted to talk about Christmas, and here's why I'm choosing now to talk about Christmas. Today, as mentioned at the beginning of the show, is October 26, 2017. 2 days ago, I was in a store, and for the first time this year, you know the rest of the sentence, saw Christmas decorations and Christmas products and all kinds of nonsense. It's before Halloween, folks, and they're showing Christmas stuff. Okay, fair enough. Pardon me while I took a drink there. So they're showing Christmas things. And, of course, a number of conservative people are going to be talking about the so-called war on Christmas. What does a war on Christmas mean? It means that when you go into a store, presumably this will be after Thanksgiving. I hope it'll wait that long. But you go into a store and you buy something, and instead of saying, "Have a nice day," which is a perfectly pleasant thing to say, I suppose, although admittedly intellectually lightweight, that's okay. "Have a nice day" is fine. Instead of saying that, they will say something clever like, "Merry Christmas." I'm sorry, that's not true. They usually won't say that. They do here in Arizona more than in most places, but the war on Christmas complainers say they'll say "Happy Holidays," and they'll be very upset saying, "There's nothing wrong with saying Merry Christmas. Happy Holidays is what they do for political correctness." And when I have heard a conservative person say that, and it's almost always a conservative person, and by the way, it's virtually always someone who's Christian, we can discuss on another occasion, and will, what proportion of the country, what proportion of the country's population considers itself Christian, but it's much less than it used to be. Favorite statistic says it's less than 50%, but of course, I have a bias, so of course I like that low-level statistic. But anyway, the conservatives will say it's a war on Christmas, it's trying to be politically correct, they should say Merry Christmas. And I'm here to tell you that, well, no, they shouldn't. Happy Holidays, I'm not even thrilled with, but at least it's better than Merry Christmas, and here's why. Not everybody's a Christian. And even those who are some Christians don't observe Christmas. When you say Merry Christmas to someone who you don't know is Christian or a celebrant of Christmas, you are imposing, not intentionally necessarily, but as a practical matter, you are imposing your religious beliefs on them. And frankly, it's rude. It's obnoxious. And when you say to someone who is conservative and Christian that, happy holidays would be a better thing to say, or have a nice day, which would be even better, they'll say, "No, this country was started by Christians, and it's a Christian country, and blah, blah, blah." First off, it's not a Christian country. This is one of those countries that doesn't have an official religion, although it's hard to believe sometimes. And secondly, it wasn't started by Christians. It was started by deists. Again, that's another subject for another episode, but the people who started this country, Madison, Jefferson, Hamilton, Washington, all considered themselves deists. They did not consider themselves Christians. And that aside, the analogy that I use when talking to these folks is, "Do you smoke?" And if they say yes or no, "But I used to," or something like that, I'll say, "Okay, well, if you smoke, or smoked, and you walked into someone's home, would you light up a cigarette immediately upon entering?" And by the way, I will tell you that I am old enough that when I was in my early teens, the answer to that question would have been yes. Nobody would have thought anything negative about it. You'd walk into someone's house, light up a cigarette. The likelihood is they smoked too and wouldn't mind, but that's, again, a whole other story. But now, would you walk into someone's house and light up a cigarette? Almost nobody will say yes. They will say, "Well, I would ask first," or they might just say no, but they would otherwise say, "Well, I would ask first if the person minded." And because, and why would you do that, Mr. Conservative? Why would you ask someone if they minded if you lit up a cigarette? And the answer would be because it would be rude and an imposition to light up the cigarette without either knowing that they also smoke, or B, in case I didn't say it, knowing that they smoke was A. Anyway, or B, finding out they don't mind. Now, I don't want anyone smoking in my home, but if someone's outside with me and they're smoking, I don't care. I mean, even if I smell the smoke a little bit. Secondhand smoke is admittedly dangerous, but a little bit every once in a while is not going to kill you, probably. But, you know, but you ask someone, hey, is the smoke bothering you? Do you mind if I smoke? And most people who smoke, if I'm outside with someone, typically will try to blow the smoke away from me. And I say, don't worry about the smoke. It's not going to bother me, blah, blah, blah. But to a lot of people, it is offensive. But that's secondary. The thing is, you would ask someone when you entered their home or their office, if smoking were allowed there, do you mind if I smoke before you let up? Because that's polite. It's not politically correct. It's polite. It's human. It's decent. Well, at the same time, or by the same token, the same thing is true of wishing someone a Merry Christmas if you don't know their beliefs, or if you do know their beliefs and know that they don't celebrate Christmas. That's rude. When you say to someone that I've just described, the person who believes we should all say Merry Christmas, when you say to them, if you smoke, would you walk into someone's home and light up without asking them? They say, what are you asking that for? That's completely beside the point. That doesn't matter, because they know that if you use logic, and analogy is a means of using logic, that their argument would fall apart. They don't really have an argument. They just have a position. There's a difference. you might argue they do have an argument because of the viewpoint that's wrong, factually, that the country was founded by Christians and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But that aside, they have the position that everybody should say Merry Christmas, or people shouldn't be in any fashion restricted from saying Merry Christmas because the country is founded by Christians and we've always been a Christian country and, you know, the majority of people in this country are Christian, which, at least arguably, that last thing may be true. I don't like to acknowledge that, but it may be true that a majority of people in this country call themselves Christian. I don't believe they do, but even if that's not true, that is, it's not a majority, the truth is more people, try that sentence again, Jeff, more people consider themselves Christian than consider themselves atheistic, agnostic, Buddhist, Muslim, Jewish. I don't know if I left anybody out, and if I did, I apologize. The reality is that the difference between a majority and more than any other group, for those of you who are math challenged, you may have 35% of the people, this is not a true number, I'm making it up, you might have 35% of the people who consider themselves Christian, 28% who consider themselves atheists or agnostic, 12% who are Muslim, 3% who are Jews, whatever. The point is that with that 38% or 35%, whatever number I made up, that is more than any other group, but it's not a majority. But that's, frankly, picking at nits. Let's assume that Christians are the largest group in the country. The fact that you're the largest group in the country, even if a majority, doesn't mean you get, at least in a pluralistic democracy like ours is supposed to be, doesn't mean you get to ride herd over everybody else. Okay? All right. Disagree with me? My first response is that's tough, but my real response is if you disagree with me, call on in if you'd like. The number to call in and discuss that or anything we've discussed this evening, or for that matter anything else, is 646-668-2953. If you are listening to this show in its podcast version, you've downloaded it and you're listening, first off, thank you for that. But secondly, you can in the future, listen live. You can listen live on Thursday evenings. We record, we're live, on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Mountain Time, which at the moment, or Arizona time, which at the moment translates to the same in Pacific time, which means we're on at midnight Eastern. After we go to an hour and do some other things, we may go to an earlier hour. I'm frankly not sure of that, but for now, 9 o'clock. And if you are listening in podcast and you're picking us up someplace other than on blogtalkradio.com, you can find our previous programs, some going back to, I think, 2009, and those have got to be about as boring as you can get. but and because they're so timely. But you can do that at blogtalkradio.com/, that's a forward slash in case you needed to know that, Jeff, and then hyphen or dash, and last name Bushman, B-U-S-H-M-A-N. I doubt that anyone's going to hear this who isn't already aware of where they can find us on Blog Talk Radio. Also, if you would like to not go through that but want a what they call a short link, it's tobtr.com. Blog Talk Radio is the BTR. I don't know what TO. But anyway, it's tobtr.com/s as in Sam, and /10347549. And if I told you I knew why those numbers are there, what they mean, I'd be lying. Okay, so getting back to our subject, that's pretty much it. So the wishing of Merry Christmas, while a noble sentiment, you are wishing well to someone, is also intrusive and rude. So let me respectfully suggest that if it's not someone you know, either wish them happy holidays, or if you really want to please someone like me, and I doubt you do, but if you want to please someone like me, don't mention the holidays at all. Who cares? I mean, I'm not suggesting you shouldn't care about the holiday. If you do, good for you. I'm glad you're having a good time. But the truth is that you have no idea the effect it's going to have on somebody else. It could be resentment or anger. I don't mean anyone's going to turn and punch you, but it's really not, you're not doing a kindness by wishing someone a Merry Christmas. Again, unless it's someone you know and you know they observe the holiday and you're wishing them well, that's lovely. Otherwise, feel free to keep that to yourself. Also, if you're among those people who are asking for money at the edge of a freeway, excuse me, or in front of a 7-Eleven or Circle K, and someone gives you money, just say thank you. I'm not saying you don't say thank you. You say thank you, that's fine. But many, many people will also add the unnecessary God bless you. I know they mean well. I think it's lovely. But you know what? I'm glad you got the money. Leave me alone. Okay, now that you know that I'm a curmudgeon on this subject, I expect you probably don't care much. Anyhow, I said we probably weren't going to talk about Jeff Flake, but since we have some time, let me talk about Donald Trump and the Republican Party. First off, Donald Trump is a relatively recent Republican, as most Republicans know, and he is about as true a Republican as I am a basketball player. The things that Jeff Flake said in the Senate the other day, of course, are true. And ditto John McCain and Senator Bob Corker. One of the things that's going on is, and you've heard this from other outlets, is that a lot of Republicans don't like Trump in terms of his behavior and his antics with tweeting and the way he insults people and all the rest of it. They may agree with what he wants to do in terms of policy, at least partially, but they don't like his conduct, the way he conducts himself, and they think it's not appropriate for the president and blah, blah, blah. And with regard to the latter part of that, that is him behaving inappropriately, they are entirely correct. However, they're not coming out saying that they would like to get rid of him. Well, the reason for that, in large part, is because Republicans are maybe about to get what they want. Okay, what do Republicans always want? We can have an argument about what Democrats always want, but what do Republicans want? What Republicans want is tax cuts. Trump came out and said we're the highest tax country in the world, which is flat out not true. What is true is that we have the highest corporate taxes in the world. And I'll tell you my unusual for a liberal attitude about corporate taxes in just a moment if we have time. We have 5 minutes left to the program now. Excuse me. But the thing that Republicans want is a tax cut, particularly a corporate tax cut. And they believe the majority of Republicans in the Senate and the House believe that Trump may be able to as president, get them the tax cut that they want. So they're sticking with him through the tax cut legislation. There are people who have suggested that after the tax cuts pass, the Republicans are talking about it as tax reform, but taxes will be reformed as easily as Obamacare will be obliterated. These folks have said, and I think they may be right, that as soon as the tax cut goes through or it fails beyond repair, where they can't rehabilitate it, there are going to be many more Republicans coming out against Trump and his behavior, and that he will no longer have support from the Republicans in the House and the Senate. And if that's so, and the investigations start yielding some fruit, as it were, with regard to what happened with Russia, what's happened with his money laundering, what's happened with his doing business as president, the emoluments clause of the Constitution being violated, at that point, there may be some serious trouble that Trump is in. Republicans may want to get out front of that before the 2018 election, because if the country, the 38% of the people who still support Trump anyway, begin to abandon Trump and they're still supporting him, they're going to be in some serious trouble. On the other hand, if they don't support Trump, they may get primaried, because primary voters in Republican primaries tend to be ultra-conservative. And if the so-called establishment Republicans are running as establishment Republicans, they may get kicked pretty badly. Okay, so the situation for Trump is not too good, but if you were a Republican senator or a member of the House, you are probably going to be in a fairly uncomfortable position for a while, and couldn't happen to a nicer bunch of guys, in my opinion. But that's pretty much that. In the 2.5 minutes we have remaining, I'll give out the phone number one more time. I don't expect we'll get any calls. We did get a call last week, as those of you who are listening heard, but I wasn't expecting that, and I'm not expecting one tonight. Not for, frankly, a couple of weeks until we go to the hour, have some guests, and begin publicizing the show a little more. You can help publicize the show, by the way. Again, it's blogtalkradio.com/Jeff-Bushman. Phone number, if you want to make it a quick call, it's 646-668-2953. And we'll pick you up, talk to you briefly, and let you go. One of the things I've noticed on talk shows generally is as soon as the host says, we don't have very much time, so keep your call short, you get somebody on the phone who says, well, yeah, I just want to talk to you about a couple of things. Not necessarily with the accent, but they talk very slowly. And you can kind of sense the host having their hairline recede as the guy is talking, because they're so slow, and you know they're not going to get to anything, and you're going to have to cut them off, and you're running against the clock. But apparently that's not going to happen here tonight. Anyway, I want to thank you for listening, invite you back next time. I don't know exactly what we're going to be talking about on our next show. I will be trying to get a guest, but if not, we'll be talking to you some more, and some more directly. So thanks for listening again. We will look forward to being with you next week, 9 o'clock Pacific, on Thursday evening, and basically we'll see you then. Thanks very much for listening, and whatever you do, be kind to each other. By the way, right now on the East Coast, it's after midnight.